You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
With Auckland's move to level 2.5, restaurants, cafes and bars are open again for seated dining. However, unions have flagged concerns that sick workers may feel pressured to go to work, risking transmission of COVID-19. This was the case in Australia, where Victoria's outbreak was linked to people working sick. Premier Daniel Andrews called insecure work, quote, the biggest driver of transmission. I spoke to Gerard Hare, National Secretary of Unite Union, about why this is such a pervasive problem in the hospitality industry and how to address it. I started by asking him for an overview of the problem.
Well, the big problem is that, and it's been going on for a while, is simply that workers don't have enough sick leave. Like all workers, they get sick, and actually because they're often facing a lot of customers, public facing, actually they tend to get sicker more than other workers. Face-to-face with a lot of people during the day, you're more likely to catch whatever's going around. So this is a problem anyway, but the real issue is that the high turnover means that on any given day, likely half the workers or more are unlikely to have any sick leave available. That's because under New Zealand law, the minimum standards, you don't get any sick leave until you've been employed for 6 months. And when you've got turnover rates of 70, 80, 90, 100%, not unusual at all in hospitality, that means that on any given day, half the staff have never had any sick leave. If they get sick, they face a very stark choice. Even if they're allowed to take time off, and that can be an issue for some, there's a lot of pressure is put on them not to take time off, but even if they are allowed time off, that means that they lose a day's pay. Or 2 days pay or 3 days pay, and these are low-paid workers. So the reality is there's enormous pressure on them to come to work sick. Now, in the normal times, that's bad. During the COVID pandemic, that's real bad, and that's a real problem. Workers basically feeling forced to come to work sick. There's not enough sick leave. The minimum is 5 days a year. That needs to be increased. But the point we're making crucially is also needs to be available from day one. People can get sick any time, not just because they've been working for 6 months, you know, well, that's the problem. And as long as we have not enough leave and we have workers, particularly in these high turnover industries, not denied any paid leave at all, that means they're going to come to work sick. And that's what we've got to stop. We've got to avoid that at all costs.
And you mentioned that the hospitality industry is the worst industry for this. Is this just because of that six-month rule, or is there more to that?
Well, the turnover, yes, there's very high turnover in this industry, and that is the main issue. The other one is, of course, work 24/7 operations often, and very weekend nights. It's quite draining on people. Because of the turnover, that means that often they're short-staffed. People leave, they're not replaced straight away. There's enormous pressure on them. So that all compounds the same problem of people not only not being able to afford to take time off, but being put under a lot of pressure to come to work, even if they try and take time off. So it is bad. And yes, during our experiences, that particularly cafes, bars, restaurants, takeaways, there is an enormous amount of pressure on people not to take sick leave when they should, and economic pressure, they simply haven't got it. So it is, in our experience, it's the worst of the industries we deal with anyway.
A lot of hospitality industries are very small businesses. Do you think this makes them more dependent on individual workers? For example, it's common policy to find your own cover if you can't make a shift.
Absolutely. We see that all the time. Can I take time off? Yes, if you can find your own cover. Well, that's actually illegal. It's not your job. It's not a worker's job to find their own cover. That's what management is for. And I understand, yes, there are small businesses. Yes, a lot of them are struggling now. Get that. And maybe there needs to be some government assistance for those. But the point we're making is that, hey, if businesses are going to put their hand out, they need to do their bit too to make sure that their practices are that they're not spreading and putting us all at risk. So yes, finding your own cover. There's a lot of tactics used to, sometimes to just make it as hard as possible for workers to take them. You know, you can't leave a message, even though there's no one there to answer the phone early in the morning when you're trying to pull them sick. They're not told, but a medical certificate is demanded every single time, and I tell them that actually they could be reimbursed for it if it's less than 2 days. There's just a whole range of things that happen, and it's bad in normal times. At the moment, you know, it could be very, very bad. What we saw is that in Victoria, where they've had, you know, a really bad outbreak, the single biggest factor in terms of the ongoing outbreak, which their own premier identified, is people going to work sick. That was the major cause of that. It might not have been the original cause, but it was actually the cause of it spreading and growing and multiplying. And that's what we've got to try and avoid now. And we saw in this one, even in the Auckland outbreak, people going to work. We're not quite sure how they became infected firstly, but, you know, there were a few workplaces there where that became the way that it spread. And, we've got to try our best. And having people, you're less sick, I shouldn't go to work. We've heard it over and over and over again. And it's okay to say that, but if people can't pay the rent, they can't buy the groceries next week, then they really don't have much choice.
And do you think their nature as small businesses also makes it harder for workers to speak up because of the closeness of the workplace and also just that they're so easily pinpointed as being the one who complained?
Yes, it can be, definitely. Although, you know, we deal with some big corporations too, and I've got to say the managers there, there's a similar amount of pressure applied. So although smaller businesses, you're right, it can be that level of, and also the lack of options too is another part of the problem. A bigger business is going to have more people to call on when people are sick in terms of replacing people. So there's that pressure. If you've got a small number of employees, you haven't got that many options. And we understand that, and that's, you know, these are all problems. But you've got to look at the priorities, and the priorities particularly at the moment are that it's more important that the virus does not spread and isn't spread at work. And quite frankly, with the hospitality, most people are dealing with food anyway. So people, you know, even as customers, we shouldn't be wanting and we should be demanding that the businesses we go to eat at and to drink at aren't using workers who are sick to prepare our food and beverages. So even in normal times, this shouldn't be happening. And that's, I guess, the point is that it's in everyone's interest to not be happening on an ongoing basis, because the last thing any business wants is its customers to get sick. We saw in Australia, again in the Victorian outbreak, there were a number of cases linked to McDonald's restaurants that caused a major disruption there, having to be closed, having to be cleaned, customers having to be contacted. So yeah, it's not something anyone wants to happen, and it's in everyone's interest.
If there were more sick days available, or if they were available from day one, do you think workers would actually take them? Or is this sort of cultural problem too endemic?
Look, there are problems with people turning up to work sick, but I tell you, in the hospitality industry, it is the main problem is workers not having paid leave. That is the fundamental thing, or pressure being put on them. And if you haven't got any paid leave, of course, you're more susceptible to pressure, because it's like, well, for instance, you could use your annual leave, but the employer doesn't have to. Okay, they're not obliged to. It makes sense to do it, wouldn't it? But some employees say no. So there's a lot of ways that not having paid leave available, that in itself is a problem, but it also allows other pressure to be put on the people to come to work and expectations made. I think having paid leave is also a good signal to people. It's like, yeah, if I've got paid leave, that means it's reasonable, you know, it's reasonable. And particularly, for instance, those with children, the 5 days minimum is just not enough. I mean, effectively, we've got young children, you have to stay at home to look after them. That's a huge problem, because 5 days just isn't enough. You've basically got the same amount of sick leave that you might have been having to try and cope with the sick leave levels of 2, 3, or 4 people. So that is a huge problem. Having that paid sick leave available, I think that will make people not only the weight you're forced to it, but it makes them feel that, yeah, it's okay for me to take a sick leave. It's okay. And also, having that level of sick leave means businesses can work through, okay, at the moment it's 5 days, okay, so I'm going to plan for enough labour for 5 days a year. Well, actually, probably need more than that. So businesses can go, yeah, well, it's 10 days now, so I need to think about my staffing levels and that amount of cover, having that available. So I think it'd be a good signal for workers and employers to say, yep, we need to plan for this, make allowances for this.
Do you think it creates anxiety in workers being frontline staff and having their health at the hands of management policy?
Oh, absolutely. I tell you what, the move from level 4 to level 3, that first day, which many people remember, when the fast food drive-throughs opened, you know, and there was a lot of talk and people in the media saying, what are you going to get, looking forward to it, that's okay. But you can imagine yourself being a worker standing at that window, and for McDonald's, it was their busiest day in history. So the workers were standing at that window as the country came out of level 4, and it was hundreds of people going past them. You know, they were terrified, quite frankly. They were terrified. And the idea that what should terrify us all is that the idea that a worker felt that they have to come to work and they're standing there one day sick, maybe coughing, sneezing, even talking, as we know, if hundreds of customers go past them, you know, that genuinely concerns people. So it's not just their own health, but they're really concerned that they also, because they face so many people, that they could be spreading it to the customers as well. Absolutely. It is a deep concern. And it's something to be going on for years and years and years, but I think COVID-19 has really brought it to the fore. People going, this isn't right. It's not right that I feel I have to or I've been forced to come to work sick.
That was the National Secretary of Unite Union speaking about hospitality workers being pressured to go to work sick. We had a text in on this, which Jemima will now read.
Yeah, so somebody texted in saying, re-sick leave, another issue is I have 2 school-aged children, so I have to split my 5-day sick leave between the 3 of us, so absolutely no chance of me possibly getting sick, which is, again, another very relevant issue that I'm sure a lot of people struggle with.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.